countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
Now, when my next guest, Bord Bia's Maureen Gahan, last spoke to me on the programme, it was 18 months ago, and we were wondering then if there was any end in sight for the growth of the food service sector in this country, because in November 2019, that sector had grown in 8 consecutive years and then accounted for about 1/3 of all food that we consume in this country. But those last 18 months have seen a reversal of fortune and uncertainty about the future for obvious reasons. Maureen's here. Good morning.
Good morning, Damien.
Good to see you again. Hard to believe it's 18 months since you were here, and we were talking about the growth of this sector. But just remind our listeners this area we're talking about. What does it include?
Sure. So when we talk about food service, it's food that is consumed or prepared out of home. So that includes everything from high street, you know, restaurants, coffee shops, pubs and hotels, but also things like food in workplace restaurants, on board trains and planes. So, yeah, as you say.
Anything we don't eat at home.
Anything we don't eat or we don't prepare. So also included are things like home delivery. But anything we don't buy in a supermarket, basically.
Well, by God, it's had some hit in the last 12 months.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, 18 months ago had been growing for 8 consecutive years. We were talking about things like, you know, the market getting a bit saturated, prepare for a slowdown, but nobody saw the freight train that was coming around the corner. And, you know, when I talk about food out of home, and yet we've been told to stay in home for so long. So, you know, that gives you just an idea of how badly it's
been. So the restaurants closed, you know, the fast food outlets closed. We weren't driving in our cars, so we weren't going to the petrol station as much, and we started cooking from home. So are you able to quantify how that food service sector was hit?
And we know it didn't close 100%. We know obviously there'd been lockdowns and reopenings, but separate to that, there were some businesses that were able to trade throughout, particularly where they had off-premise sales. So by off-premises, we're talking about everything from takeaway to click and collect, you know, your order in advance, or home delivery. And those are the ones that have been able to trade regardless of the lockdown. So they have continued to do okay. And we've seen a lot of innovation in that space as well. But from a numbers point of view, at the beginning of 2020, so last year, the market was valued at menu prices of about 8.5 billion. At the end of the year, our report published in November suggested that it had fallen by 47%, so almost 50%, and down to 4.5 billion. And within that, I suppose some sectors within food service hit more than others.
Depending on geography, probably.
Depending on geography, to a certain extent, we know that city centres continue to be, you know, hit because obviously no tourists. The fact that so many people working from home is affecting that. Third level students, you know, studying from home. So on the flip side of that, then we have seen some growth in both regional and suburban areas. But the other thing is that, as I mentioned before, certain sectors have been hit worse than others. So if you were in the events business, for example, catering at Croke Park or the Aviva Stadium, you know, that's just stopped. Weddings have stopped, obviously, to a certain degree. But then this whole off-premises, those that were able to transition, do things like home meal delivery kits, they've had, at least they've been able to, I suppose, keep the brand alive. And we've seen some creative offerings coming from that side of things.
Yeah. And I'm seeing a lot of these, you know, the caravan, car park, coffee, little outlets as well. Yeah. Is that part of the pivoting?
Absolutely, absolutely. Somebody said to me during the week that the hardest thing to find in a horse box these days was a horse. So I think we've all seen that. And coffee, it lends itself to take away, obviously. But also other offerings from, you know, your kind of your burgers or Mexican style, whatever the case may be. I mean, I know there's a chef called Chad Byrne from Killarney, and he went to crowdfunding earlier in the year in order to fund a horse box, and he has one. It's called the Hungry Donkey, and that's been trading well over the last while. And the reason is, I mean, consumers, we've been stuck at home and we've been cooking 3 meals a day, and so we're just looking for any kind of an option to give us a break from that. And there's absolute pent up demand. We feel that, and we're confident that as the industry does reopen, we know hotels will reopen first from the 2nd of June, then outdoor dining from the 7th of June. No definite date yet for indoor dining, although widely expected and hopefully expected from early July. So we can, you know, we know there's a certain amount of consumer caution out there, but we also know there's pent up demand, and we've seen it in other markets as they reopened. You know, the UK are ahead of us.
Yeah.
in terms of both vaccine rollout and the reopening. Last Monday, they opened for indoor dining and they were reporting figures up 25% against 2019 figures. So, you know, we're kind of suggesting it might be a bit of a sugar rush. We'll see how it goes, but we would really be hopeful for a strong summer. One of the things that we're doing at the moment actually is we're out to trade interviews all this week and next, and we will be just basically looking at our November figures. We'll, on the 17th of June, be publishing a white paper which gives a more definite figure for the predicted growth this year. We do know that the first 6 months have been, you know, I suppose worse than we would have anticipated in terms of the length and the depth of the lockdown, but we're confident. I mean, the great news is that the vaccines are rolling out and they appear to be working in terms of the numbers in hospitals, notwithstanding the fact we know, we're very much aware, as is the industry and as are consumers, that the virus is still in the community. But yes, we would certainly see second half of 2021 being a lot more positive, and then we'll be looking into 2022 to see what that might translate because, as well.
Because you're talking about the horse boxes and the caravan selling the coffee and the toasties, and you know, it's great to see, and there's great camaraderie at weekends, people queuing up and all of that, and being able to eat outdoors. And then there's these, is it kind of what you call ghost kitchens, dark or ghost kitchens as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, some of the trends that we've been speaking about for the last couple of years have absolutely accelerated in the face of COVID, because, you know, out of necessity. And the reference to dark or ghost kitchens, it's somewhat, you know, gives a perception of a little bit shady. But actually, all it means is that you're working from a kitchen that's not, you know, you don't have high street presence necessarily. And so we've seen it within Ireland, interestingly, on the whole workplace catering. Obviously, people still not yet back in offices. In some industries, they've had to continue. But some of those are looking at central production kitchens, where rather than having staffed kitchens on site, they can work from these. Effectively, they're ghost kitchens, because, and they then deliver in. Or from a high street point of view, we've seen examples of some restaurants, for example, that are using hotel kitchens that haven't been used to date to service based on the demographic. So if you want to get into a part of Dublin or Galway or wherever, where there's a decent population demographics and you can do home delivery, but from a different kitchen. That's what we're talking about when we say ghost kitchens. And so, yeah, we have seen an increase in that.
All right. Well, before you go, Maureen, are we going to go back to the way we were? Or are there some trends here to stay? Like, you know, we're working from home. So a lot of those office workers that would have been buying sandwiches and
I mean, we think ultimately that we'll come back to, there's a big conversation, of course, of the home work balance and flexibility. I think realistically, we won't get back to 100%, but maybe we'll get back to, by 2022, 70, 80% with this flexible working model. So there will be people back in offices, for sure. Younger population, they want to get back in and socialise and go out after work. Just very quickly, Damien, from a producer point of view, what we say to the food and drink companies that we work with, it's all about the so what from these insights. What does that mean from your business? And many of them have been fantastic, because they've had the opportunity, maybe where their food service business collapsed, they've had the opportunity to go directly to consumers or find business at retail level. I mean, I guess the good news is everyone needs to eat. So, and we know there's a consumer demand, it's just getting to the consumer. But for a lot of them, we're now saying when you're start back trading with restaurants, you need to understand, we know labour is a huge issue. So and it's going to be more difficult for the hospitality sector as it reopens, trying to get staff back in kitchens and front of house. So if you have a product that can help on labour saving, if you have a product that lends itself well to takeaway, if you have product for the kind of streamlined menus these guys will be working with. So, but in terms of consumer behaviours, we think some will stick and some will just go back to the way we were. I mean, for sure, the kind of the massive spike in home delivery meal boxes, a lot of restaurants, when they open up to indoor dining, they won't be able to keep both, but there may be a certain element, and I think home delivery will continue. It'll probably just drop. It'll certainly drop against 2020, but yes, it'll be up against 2019.
Okay. And as you said there, the food retailers have had it really tough, but a lot of their suppliers have been able to innovate.
Yeah, and if you look at exports, I mean, it's not just in Ireland, obviously, with food service. We've seen globally a 33% drop in food service. We would have had beef, seafood, alcohol, dairy going out to restaurants around the world. And yet our overall exports last year only fell by 2%. Okay. So I think that's phenomenal. It just shows how, you know, hardworking, resistant the Irish food industry is.
All right, Maureen, thank you very much indeed for that insight. And we'll keep an eye on the continuing, I suppose, trends that you're looking at there in Bourbia. And Well done for that. Maureen is one of the food exports experts included in the current KPMG Irish Farmers Journal Agribusiness Report, which was published this week. A lot of really interesting reading in that as well. Maureen, thanks very much.
Thank
and sure, it won't be 18 months before we see you again. You're
and
welcome back here
we'll
anytime.
Plenty of good news.
Hopefully, indeed.